Often throughout my ministry, there have been times when people have come to me and there has been a lot of stress or a lot of chaos or a lot of activity that have been going on in their lives. And I'll say to them, what is it that you would really, really want most of all right now? And just about every single one of them says, all I want is a little bit of peace, you know, that calm that comes along. Well, the Word of God tells us a lot concerning peace, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about today as we look at another characteristic of our Savior that we could emulate, and that is walking in peace. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of John chapter 14 as well as Philippians chapter 4. So grab your Bible, come on back, we'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so pleased that you're joining us this evening. A moment ago, we were talking about another one of the characteristics of our Savior that we can emulate, and that is walking in peace. Now, in a world full of chaos and stress and uncertainty, walking in peace can seem like a very unattainable goal or an unattainable dream. Yet, as followers of Christ, peace is our inheritance. Today, let's explore what it means to walk in peace by understanding God's promises to us. Now, I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be looking at a couple of different passages. One of them is John chapter 14, particularly verse 27. Often you will hear this at a funeral. Maybe you've attended a funeral. And these are all often comforting words when somebody is in the midst of a loss of a loved one or somebody that they know. But John chapter 14, verse 27 says this. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then I also want to highlight a passage that comes out of Philippians chapter 4, particularly verses 6 and 7. Where it tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time of Bible study today. Father, as we come to you, again, we're grateful and thankful for the fact that you walk with us, that you'll never leave us, that you will never forsake us. And Lord, I just pray that as we take these moments to come around your word, that you would enlighten us, that you would open our heart to the movement of the Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, not only would you help us to understand that we can truly cast all of our cares and burdens upon you and because you care for us, but Lord, also the fact that you desire peace, and peace is truly our inheritance. And Lord, may our peace be found in the right place, and that is in the heart of who you are. So, Lord, bless our time together. Use me as your servant for these moments that you truly would be high and lifted up. And draw all men unto you during this time, as, Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Yeah, so we've looked at some passages today, and we've looked at that fact. And if you're like most people, there have been those times when there have been a lot of stresses in your life, a lot of things that are going on, and it just seems like it's just one right after the other. Boom, 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 boom. And that's usually the point when I'm having an opportunity to talk to somebody, and then what they'll say is simply this, man, all I want is a little bit of peace in my life. Well, if that's you, one of the main points that we can pull from our scriptures today is simply this, that there is a gift of peace. Now, in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus offers his peace to us. Now, this is not that temporary or fragile kind of peace. It's not that momentary reprieve along the way that the world tends to provide. And as I thought about this, I've often thought of many folks who find respite or temporary peace. Well, it's not really peace at all. They find it in a bottle. They find it through drugs. They find it through so many other places. But that's all temporary. Those are temporal things. Obviously things that we shouldn't be doing, but they're just temporary escapes. But Jesus has more than that for us. He wants to provide a permanent peace. So instead of all the worldly temporal things, instead we need to understand that the peace of Christ is a profound sense of tranquility that stems from knowing Jesus. See, Jesus calls us to embrace this divine peace by letting go of fear and by letting go of anxieties. Now, it's interesting that if you've looked over the past several decades, that there's just been an increase in anxiety in so many people, not just adult folks, but even in young people. I mean, anxiety seems to be at an all-time high. So just to kind of illustrate this point, most of us can think of a time in our lives where maybe there was this serene lake scene that we've even personally seen, or maybe we've even just seen it in paintings or photographs. And it's interesting. You look out and that water is just smooth as glass and just as crystal clear. And no matter how turbulent the world may be around it, that lake just seems to have such a calm surface. Now, the peace that Jesus offers us, it's like that. It's internal, and it is steadfast, and it is unaffected by the external storms that are happening in our lives. Now, I want you to hold that thought for just a few minutes, because I know that there are probably some people in your life that you know of that you have seen before, and you know of the extenuating circumstances and the stresses and the potential anxieties in their life, but you've looked at them and you've thought, man, how can they be so calm in situations like this? What is it that they know that I don't know when it comes along? Well, as you receive Jesus' peace by trusting in Him, you do that wholeheartedly. And when fear tries to creep in, we need to remind ourselves that His promise that He gave us is that He is going to provide peace for us. And we need to choose to focus on His faithfulness rather than our circumstances. Now, that's an interesting term. And if you've been around me for any amount of time, if you've been around Central Baptist Church, I know I've even mentioned it before in our Bible studies. And there's this thing that seems to be prevalent in today's society, and I call it circumstantial faith. And what that means is that as long as everything is going good in our lives and there's no problems whatsoever, boy, we're on cruise control, everything is good, we praise the Lord, all these different things. But then what happens is when the circumstances, that's where I get the term circumstantial faith, when the circumstances of our life change, when all of a sudden everything goes south, too many people start looking at what's going on in the peripheral, and they start looking at the circumstances rather than the Savior. And that is a huge, huge thing. We need to not allow our lives to be controlled by circumstantial faith. What we believe, what we think about our Savior should never change based on our ever-changing circumstances that ebb and flow from day to day. So that's one of the major points that we can get out of our text today. Now, what's another point that we can pull from our scripture text today? The second thing is that there is a path to peace. I always love how, when the Bible points out something, and so many times we've been reading along in God's Word and studying, and we're like, man, that's exactly where I am. Maybe today you're in that situation and you have circumstantial faith. Maybe you're at the point where there's just no peace in your life. And when you're reading along, and you might say, hey, that is exactly me, but the next thing you want to know is, what do we do about it? What is the resolution for the situation? What is the resolution for the circumstantial faith that is going on in my life right now? So if that's you today, then you might want to jot these verses down. Particularly, the verses are Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which I read to you at the beginning of our Bible study. But in those particular passages, again, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it details the path to receiving God's peace. It tells us how that's done. Most of the time, that's what we want. When we're in a situation, we want somebody to tell us, well, how do I get from point A to point B? How do I get from not having peace in my life to being able to have peace in my life? What I love about the Word of God and God Himself is that He never left us hanging. He never just identified an issue and said, well, there it is, twist in the wind. But He gives us the path to receiving, in our case, and what we're talking about today, is receiving the peace of God. And those three things that we read about in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, there are three things that are involved in the path to receiving God's peace. And they're charted in those verses, but here's what they are. It's prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Okay? By consciously laying our anxieties before God, we invite His peace to guard our hearts and to guard our minds. I know that I've actually used that term, guard our hearts, guard our minds, along the way in prayer. Now, as you think about that, think about it in this manner. Think about a parent. Maybe you're a parent, you've had small children at least at some point in your life. Maybe you have them now. Or maybe you can remember as a time when you were a child and you had a nightmare, or you had something that you were just very, very afraid of. And, you know, you went to mom and dad's room and you told them that you were afraid, and they were there. Now, as a child begins to share their fears, the parent's presence and assurance provides comfort. Oftentimes, it's just the presence, knowing that mom and dad are there, knowing that the big green monster under the bed's not going to come out there and get them, because mom and dad are there, mom and dad love them, mom and dad are there to protect them. And very often, as the parent, there may have been some nights in your life where that child has crawled up in the bed and gone to sleep right there with you, because and the reason they were able to do that is because they felt peace in their heart. They felt that they were watched over. They felt like they had been attended. So likewise, when we approach God in prayer, we are enveloped in His peace that truly surpasses all understanding. And that's just verbatim right out of those particular passages that we're talking about. So, you know, what do we do when we find ourselves in these types of situations? You know, what are the steps that we need to take, or how can we come about being able to take those steps? In other words, how do we apply what we're learning through this text into our lives today? Well, we can cultivate a habit of prayer. Notice what I said. You know, by the way, you know, habits aren't all bad. Habits can be good things, okay? Cultivate a habit of prayer. When you are anxious, when you're feeling those anxieties and those stresses and those tensions, pause to pray and to give thanks. You know, stop and thank the Lord for all the many wonderful things that He's given in your life. I've often said this, that one of the greatest remedies to anxiety and depression and so many other things is to start counting your blessings. Start naming the things that God has given to you. Name the things that God has done for you. So when you're anxious, pause and pray. Give thanks. Release your worries to God. Yeah, and say, Lord, I'm carrying this heavy burden. I don't want to carry it anymore. This is messing me up. I am going to hand it to you. Now, a lot of us are really good at doing that. We'll sit back and say, well, Lord, I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to give it to you. The only problem is we have this tendency to pick it right back up. You know, almost like we don't feel like God can handle the situation. Well, you and I both know that that's not true. When you turn it over to God, leave it with God and allow Him to work in that situation or in that person or whatever it may be. So we need to release these things to God through prayer, and we need to allow His peace to become a tangible presence in our life. You know, when you feel, like I said, most people know what it feels like to have peace. And part of the reason I know that is because when they sit back and say, all I want is a little bit of peace in my life, they've experienced peace before. They're in the midst of turmoil and they want that peace back. Is that you today? Well, you're getting some steps through God's word on how to come back in line with the peace that truly surpasses all understanding. So what's another thing that we can see, you know, that God promises us in regard to being able to have peace in our lives, okay? Well, not only does he share those things, not only does he share what it is, not only does he share how we need to work with it according to God's word, remember, through prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving, but he also goes on and gives us another promise, and that is the sustaining peace in our daily lives. That's what we're after. That's what most people are searching for. I love to use the word sustaining, and here's why. Even though I am not much of a musician, I wouldn't even call myself a novice musician, but there's one thing that I know. I know what sustain means. If you're a musician, you understand that what that means. That means to hold something out. Like on the piano, there's a pedal that you can press, and you can hold that chord or that note out. It's like on a guitar, when you pick a string and you let it, as the guitar player says, let it ring. It sustains along the way. So what we're looking for is sustaining peace in our daily lives. And God has given us that example. You see, one of the things that we have to understand about peace is this, that if you're going to walk in peace, it is going to require something of you. Now, most of the time, you know, we sit back and say, well, if I'm in the middle of unrest and a lack of peace in my life, I am willing and ready to do whatever that takes. Well, here's one of the things that you're going to have to understand, that to walk in peace requires something from you. And what it requires is intentionality. I like to use the word purpose. We need to purpose to do certain things. We need to purpose to walk in His grace. We need to purpose to walk in His peace. And it means prioritizing a life that consistently aligns with God's teaching and God's promises. It's not about just doing your own thing, and then when you get in the midst of unrest, you run to the Lord to be your rescue. He wants us to do that. But isn't it so much better when you're walking with Him every day to sit back and say, Lord, I need some help here. Lord, I need something. I guarantee you that there's somebody in your life that you know that when you see them coming, the first thing that you think is, I wonder what they want, because the only time you hear from them is when you want or when they want something, and then they'll go to you. Look, let's not be like that with God. Let's just maintain that consistent walk with Him. Let's walk with Him. Let's talk with Him in the good times as well as in the bad, so that when we're walking with Him in the good times, then He's not sitting back going, I wonder what He wants right now. Now, don't take that in a bad or a wrong way, because the Lord's with us in the midst of all of our circumstances and situations. But let's not ignore Him when the times are good, and let's not just go to Him when times are bad. Obviously, you want to go to Him when times are bad, but not just when times are bad. Walk with Him. Talk with Him on a daily basis through the good times as well as the bad. So remember what I said just a moment ago, that if we're going to walk in peace, it's going to require intentionality on our part. We're going to have to prioritize a life that consistently aligns with God's teachings and His promises that we read about in His Word, that we learn about as we're discipled, as we learn about through our small groups, as we learn about through sermons and messages and Bible studies and so many other things, okay? See, the peace of God is sustained through our daily walk with Him, knowing that He's right there by our side. You know, I like to think about it this way. I'm one of those people who I like to plant a few things in the garden. I don't have a big, huge garden, but every year I like to try to plant a few tomato plants, maybe some pepper plants and some cucumbers and squash. But I want you to think about a well-tended garden for just a moment. Now, notice there was a caveat to that, a well-tended garden. You see, a well-tended garden flourishes with consistent care. I don't know about the rest of the gardeners. I know most of them probably do this, but you might go out there and put your plants in the ground, and each and every day you'll go out there. You'll make sure they're watered. You'll make sure that they're weeded. You'll make sure there aren't any bugs on them that are eating them. You'll try everything to keep the deer from eating your vegetables as they grow. You'll put fertilizer out. You will do everything that you can to give that plant the best possibility to grow and to produce a harvest. Now, similarly, nurturing our relationship with God through daily devotion, through worship, and through obedience allows His peace to flourish within us. So is your spiritual garden well tended? Are you taking care of the things, you know, in the meantime? Like I say, when you plant a garden, I don't go in and put a tomato plant in and expect the next day to go out and there to be a tomato there. That plant needs to mature. It needs to grow. It needs care along the way. Then eventually it will produce the fruit, and it will produce the better fruit if it has been well tended to. So how is your spiritual life when it comes down to tendencies, okay? How's your daily devotional life? You know, I always ask that. When somebody comes to me for counseling, the first question I usually ask them is, how's your devotional life? And 9.5 times out of 10, I will hear, well, you know, it's just really not that good. You know, because this is where the Lord speaks to us. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through sermons. He speaks to us through prayer. He speaks to us through our circumstances, okay? He speaks to us in so many different ways. So, you know, if you're going to have that nurturing relationship with God, just like you nurture that garden, it's going to require, remember what we said, intentionality. You're going to have to be intentional to do this. That nurturing is going to happen through daily devotions, through worship, and through obedience, which will allow His peace to flow through and to flourish inside of us. Okay? So think about it this way. You know, if you're at that particular point today and you're like, hey, I need to make a change, I've got some tools by which to do that through the scriptures that we've been talking about. But today, you need to commit daily or commit to daily practices that draw you closer to God. And that's spending time with Him in His Word. That's spending time with him in worship. That is reflecting on his goodness in your life. And that means making that appointment with him, keeping that appointment with him, making it paramount in your life as something that is incredibly important, okay? And not only that, surround yourself with reminders of his peace to sustain you, to carry you through, even in those challenging times. You got to remember this. There were good times as you were heading into the challenges. You persevere and you will come out to the other side, and there will be good times once again. But you're going to have to persevere. You're going to have to be sustained. I love that passage in the Bible where Christ is talking about the vine and the branches. He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Abide in me. Abide means to stay attached to him. You know, I've often thought that, you know, you can go out there and you can go to a tree and you can snap a tree limb off of it and you can lay it beside the tree. And even though it's laying beside the tree, in a few days, usually if you do it in the summertime and there's leaves on the trees, in a few days you're going to see those leaves wither away. And given a few more weeks and you're going to see those leaves completely dead. You're going to see that limb itself die. And the reason why is it is not connected to the system that gives it its nutrients. It's no longer connected to the tree so that it is no longer being fed by the sunlight and the rain to make it a healthy plant. And the same thing happens with you and I as Christians. Jesus gave us that poignant example. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me, stay connected to him. Can we do that today? As we think about the times that we're walking, whether we're walking in the midst of peace or whether we're walking in the midst of chaos, the Lord is telling us, here's how we can come about peace in our lives, okay? So walking in peace is a journey that is enriched by the knowledge of Jesus' unshakable promises and the discipline of prayerful living in our lives. And may we continually seek his peace, allowing it to transform our hearts and our minds. And that's what the word tells us that it will do. It will transform our hearts and it will transform our minds. And then you can become like those people that you sit back and say, how on earth can they remain, you know, so calm? That's a term we use. How can they remain so calm and at peace in the midst of the firestorms that are going on all around them? Well, you know, if you ask them, they will tell you that they are dependent upon the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to provide the peace in their lives, to take the next step, to put one foot in front of the other. I also love that that poem that many of us have read before called Footprints in the Sand, where the guy was walking along and, you know, he says, I noticed, Lord, when I looked back over my life, that it was the most troublesome times in my life when I only saw the one set of footprints. And then the Jesus says, well, you know, son, that is the times when I carried you. Too often we think we're walking that path by ourselves, and yet the Master is carrying us. May we truly keep that in our hearts and in our minds as we go forward, as we deal with the chaos of everyday life. May we be able to do that with the peace that truly surpasses all understanding, as we've read about in the Lord's Word today. I'm going to pray for you just to that end here in a moment, but I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Actually, next week, we're going to be starting a new series. I want to start a series on the seven churches in the book of Revelation. It's the seven churches of Asia Minor. Now, I know that as we go through the next few weeks, Easter's going to be coming up, so we may take a little break from our series there, but I'm going to take a look at the seven churches, so it'll be a seven-week series. And next week, I want you to take the time and the opportunity to spend some time over in Revelation chapter 2. And then next week, we're going to discuss sermon 1 of our series of the seven churches, which is Rekindling Your First Love. And that's going to come from Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. So spend a little time in those passages so that you can be prepared as we come together next week for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. So let me pray with you as we dismiss our time together today. Father, as we come to you, Lord, first of all, we want to thank you for the gift of peace that Jesus offers to each and every one of us. Lord, may our faith and our walk in you not be circumstantial, but Lord, may we truly be connected to you. Lord, we thank you for that gift of peace. Lord, help us to embrace this peace and to turn to you in prayer Lord, to so that you can guard us and that we could be guarded in every aspect of our lives, that we may be walking in a way that is pleasing to you. And may your peace, which truly, truly surpasses all understanding, reign in our hearts today and always, as Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to extend to you an invitation to come join us for our Sunday morning worship services. We start at 10:45 in the morning on Sunday mornings. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge. If you're familiar with that area, we're right across Highway 68 from the Oak Ridge Military Academy, and we would certainly love to have you come and worship with us in spirit and in truth. If you come by, please introduce yourself to me. I'd love to have an opportunity to get to meet you. And also, in regard to Central Baptist, we have other discipleship opportunities. We have Sunday school classes. We've got small groups. We've got small women's groups, small men's groups. We have youth that you can take part in there. We have Awana for our children's ministries there on Sunday night as well. So we would love for you to stop by and visit with us to worship our Lord, as I always say, in spirit and in truth. So may God bless you, and I hope to see you this coming Sunday.